Hey guys, it's the Musky 360 Canada edition. Once again, track down the old wild man, Joe. Joe, what's going on?
What's up, Danny? I'm just kicking it hard here. It's raining. It's been windy the last few days, and I'm going horizontal earlier and earlier each night.
Yeah, you know, I'm not opposed to this longer darkness right now. I mean, I'll get pretty sick of it once winter comes, but I'm not opposed to it getting dark a little early. I find the extra sleep is actually making me feel a little bit more motivated.
You know, I like it. I get paid the same, and I have to, you know, work less hours. So why wouldn't I like it?
Yeah. No, it is, you know, the never-ending telltale sign that open water is slowly fading away from us and ice fishing is coming. But, I mean, you know, looking at the long-range forecast, I don't know when that's going to be. Like, we still have a lot of open water opportunity left up here. And, I mean, my boat is currently out of the water, and I don't feel like I caught the best bite that fall has to offer quite yet.
Well, there's definitely the best bite is yet to come here on Lake of the Woods around the northwest angle. The water just started dipping below 50, and there's going to be some great fishing to be had here in the next couple weeks. But I do have a feeling that when the cold finally does show up, it's going to drop, you know, right down below zero and stay there for a while. I think it's going to hit us hard this fall once it finally shows. So that's my prediction.
It's kind of been the never-ending story here this fall. I mean, these warm temperatures have made it, you know, it's either lately, you know, the last week or week and a half since we talked, it's either been really, really, really good or really tough to scratch things up. And it's solely what I found is it's more temperature related than anything. Like when you can get a cold morning, you know, we've only had one hard frost all fall up here. That was Thursday morning. I woke up, I think it was like 24, 25 degrees, and those fish went absolutely insane all day. Like that fall day, you've been looking for, waiting for you, and I thought, okay, here we go, it's go time, you know, like, fall is here, this is what I've been waiting for. And then Friday, and it got up to like 60 degrees, and like, everywhere I saw fish, it was like a complete ghost town. And they were just, you know, and then when we did encounter fish, their attitudes were really negative, they just did not have that spunk that, you know, they had those couple prior days that we actually had some cool mornings that felt like fall fishing, and the fish reacted very positively to that, you know, those cooler mornings, that drop in temperature, just what we've been talking about, you know, waiting for. And the last few days here, it's kind of been warm. Not to say that, you know, you're not catching fish. You're catching a fish or two a day, but those days that we had those cold mornings and it felt like fall, I mean, 5-6 fish days, you know, and fish flying around, screaming around on the figure eight, you know, there was 3 to 10, 12 fish on a structure, it seemed like. And then you get that warming south wind and everything just goes back to lollygagging around. I don't know if that's kind of what you were seeing over in your neck of the woods.
Oh yeah, for sure. It seems like whenever we get a south wind and high temps or temps that are significantly warmer than the water temp, that always throws things into limbo. So it was a little bit slower action for me this past weekend, but we still put a lot of fish in the net overall. I mean, really, when you look back at it, it wasn't all that bad. 5 out of the last 6 fish I've had in the net were over 48 inches. So you know, it's been good as far as size goes, just kind of waiting for that evening bite. Basically, we had a couple little windows or a couple good bites throughout the day over the weekend where we were casting and we were able to hook up with a couple of lost fish there. And then every day, right, as the sun is hitting the treetops, sort of thing, like at the end of the day, all of a sudden they start showing up, and we'd put a couple in the net, or we'd put one in the net, and so that was our savior. It did get kind of long on Saturday waiting for that evening bite to come around. I was ready to lay down and take a nap in the bow of the boat, make it show up a little bit sooner, but just about the time I was feeling dead, then all of a sudden stuff started happening, so that was nice.
Definitely, I wasn't quite gutting it out right till dark, but definitely I saw more action right away in the morning. So, I mean, very, very typical of fall fishing. Your low light periods are going to be, by far your most productive times of day. That's when, I had been seeing some bait kind of pushing in and close. Every day they were kind of getting the bait, the whiteys and the ciscos were getting closer and closer to structures. You can tell it's, they're thinking about it. And, as the day went on, you could just see instead of when you drop the trolling motor to start fishing the spot, you're marking bait. Now, the sun's up, I'm 100 yards from the rock, and that's the last bait I mark. So a lot of those fish, I mean, some fish were staying up on the rocks, and those are the fish that, you were encountering. But I feel like with the warmer temps, a lot of those fish during that middle of the day, it's not that they were up on structure and inactive. They just were not there. They were, making that daily movement with that bait, which, because the bait, now, until the temperature drops just that little bit more, they're not hanging right on the edge of the rocks during the day. They're making, they're pushing out just that extra little step. They were, everything I saw was kind of staged during the day in that 30-foot zone, I would say, kind of. So, I mean, it's right there. We're pretty close to seeing it when it's going to get real prime here.
Yeah, definitely. There were some areas where I was fishing at where there was just unbelievable numbers of bait. Just like huge schools of bait. And typically when I'm seeing that, you can kind of find some muskies babysitting that stuff. And what I found was the muskies were just locked down on bottom. I think 'cause of that maybe high pressure or warming trend that we were in, they were just laying tight to bottom, and you pretty much had to probably bring your baits just about right over them to get them to come up. And we were once we really started taking our time casting some spots, we'd see a lot of fish that would show up under the boat as a lure came back. They're deep enough that we couldn't see them when the bait would get to the boat, but all of a sudden the graph would show them right underneath us. And you'd stick your rod way down in the water, like almost all the way to the reel, and kind of swinging it around like that. And sometimes you'd get one to hit you. But they were just coming in kind of late and low. And I think because of the warm weather and everything, they were just kind of not primed up, so, but
No, and then you could tell, not to cut you off, but before I forget, because I'll keep letting you ramble and then I'll forget what I'm going to say, so it's my turn now. But no, like those couple cooler mornings, like I'm even running live bait up here too. And those couple cooler mornings, we did get a few fish to eat live bait. But once the temperature flipped and it got warm and sunny, they wanted nothing to do with live bait. They wouldn't touch a sucker. They would chase it around and look at it for 20, 30 minutes, but and then they would eventually just lose interest and swim off. But what I noticed, it was a predominant rubber bite, and like what you said, you had to fish the bait pretty slow to bottom to get the fish to kind of react. And then as soon as, I was always telling the guys, picture throwing up on the rock, you're kind of working it fast, get it off that edge. and then kind of slowly fish that bait, you know, which try and get it close to bottom snags, and then that last 20, 30 feet of your cast, I would say, you know, bring it up, double the speed of what you were just working it, and then bring it into the boat. And that seemed to be triggering a lot of fish. Was everybody gets in the mind frame of the fall fishing that you got to go slow, slow, slow. You know, yes and no, the water's still not cold enough to go really that slow yet. But you had to get slow to get those fish to react. But if you bring that bait in slow to the boat, the fish had zero desire whatsoever to eat it. You had to get them kind of revved up at the boat to get them to grab it. But then what I noticed just those last couple days I was out with this warming trend we had, I could not get any response on rubber. It was not erratic enough to kind of get the fish to spark and to fire. The only thing we could get action on was throwing cranks and, you know, ripping them hard, getting a real erratic action. And that you could kind of get the fish to spark up and chase the bait and, you know, kind of get a bite. It was more of a, you know, a triggering bite than a feeding bite. And that's part of the reason why they weren't eating suckers, is we didn't have the weather they weren't hungry. There's enough bait around and they're not really in quite fall mode yet to just eat everything that swims by their face yet. You had to kind of trigger them still.
Yeah, when it's warming up like that, their metabolism, you know, just isn't feeling it. And I think they just feed less maybe, but yeah, it's totally like you're saying. I mean, we were like, what I usually say is just kind of gradually speed up all the way back to the boat. Like, you're just kind of, I like, if I'm using rubber, I like throwing it, instead of giving it like big rips, I'm giving it more like short, almost like more than a tap, but you're just kind of short popping it. And
little like, hop.
Yeah, little hops. Hop. Like Medusas work good for that. They got a little more hang. And yeah, you're just kind of popping it back to the boat and then kind of gradually picking up the pace all the way back. And you know, if you can get them to come up out of their off bottom, and you might even, like, it was with the wind, it's pretty hard to, like, watch the baits or whatever with the scope, but every now and then you look over with the scope, you see a fish behind it, and there's sometimes maybe even be like a pretty big gap between your bait and the fish, and then the fish will start catching up pretty quick as you're starting to speed up away from it, even though your bait is like starting to lose the fish a little bit, or the fish is starting to like fade off from the bait, all of a sudden, you know, they come in and they'd catch up with it. So it was just kind of like,
it's almost like they get lulled to sleep by the same speed. And that's kind of what I always tell all year long. I mean, everybody, you know, especially to a lot of guys that don't musky fish a lot, or, you know, only once a year, this muskies are different than, you know, every other species of fish. You don't give them a bait at all. If you give it to them, all they're going to do is give you the middle finger. Pull the bait away. That's what generally, you know, gets the bite. And same thing like what you were saying, that just that same speed, they would lose interest. The minute you start ripping it faster and pull it away, they would definitely engage the bait. For sure, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I say all season long too, is like, if you're coming in and you're doing your figure eight slow, that fish is going to go slow and just kind of lose interest, but you got to be pulling it away from them. That's what's going to trigger that instinctual, you know, reaction from the fish. And it's, you know, that it's funny when you see these schools of bait and you can see a muskie sometimes following them, and you'll see that those fish are just kind of swimming along, and all of a sudden you see a muskie tip back, and you can almost see when they start to get a little bit more excited, like when they're getting ready to jump up and grab something. And I wish I knew exactly what it was that, you know, tripped their trigger to make them wanna all of a sudden, after following this school of bait around for who knows how long, all of a sudden they just tip back and launch up into it. But One interesting thing I saw this past weekend was, there'd be big fish following at those schools of bait around, and we'd finally get a lure in front of one and get it to bite, and it'd be a pike. When just in the days before that, and I'm sure the days coming here, typically when you see a predator fish babysitting that school of bait, it's almost always a muskie. And for some reason they fell down to bottom and the pike pulled up, and man, we caught a bunch of big pike this past weekend, and that's always a major disappointment. But
I had the same shit going on too, and it's weird how you see that some days where everything that's kind of up and active and perusing around is a pike, and the muskies are laying completely, almost dormant on the bottom. It's really weird. I don't know what causes it, why the pike would fire up and the muskies wouldn't, and it's almost like vice versa. It's like a lot of days when you're catching muskies, there's no pike to be had. And days when you're not, especially in the fall, and on the days you're catching pike, the muskies are, they're doing something else. It's kind of like, when the teacher's away, the kids will play, right? Like, when the muskies aren't on the spots, the pike are there because the bait's there, right?
yeah, I think that the muskies, when they just fall down to bottom and get real lethargic or something, then the pike obviously can seize that opportunity to go in and chase bait, when normally the muskies wouldn't give the pike the chance to get in there. They're gonna take every opportunity that there is, and then the pike don't get any. So it seems like the pike are just they're like the vultures, I feel like. Like when the main guy isn't there to do it, then the backup's gonna come in and try and do that same thing. So, but I don't know. I mean,
Was
that's
that
just
your
my theory.
best wildlife analogy you could come up with?
Well, I was gonna come up with I had another little metaphor that I was gonna use, but I didn't know if it was appropriate, so I just went with that one. I'm like the Kraft brothers or something, it is actually amazing, the things you can learn, using your sonar. Just, not like as far as putting your bait out in front of a fish, but even if I had fun, a lot of times when I have three guys in the boat, I'm not fishing, obviously. And so, I spend most of the day just watching the graph. And I could easily go out there with no rods and just drive around and watch shit happen on the graph all day, because like my favorite thing is when you see a muskie launch into a school of bait and just crush. That's like, it'll be quiet, guys are casting away or jigging, and all of a sudden I'm like, yes! And they're like, everybody kind of snaps to it, and I'm like, what? They're like, what? I'm like, oh, there's this muskie just hammered this cloud of bait out in front of us, and it was freaking awesome, But
Yeah,
that probably
I mean
gets me
that's
more excited than anything out there.
it's there's I don't even really want to go down this road, but it's the end of the season and I really don't care anymore. But this negativity evolved around forward-facing sonar and muskie fishing, and I see both sides of it, and using it wrong, there are people that do not use it, in my opinion, the right way. But I mean, the way I'm using it, and I'm sure the way that you're using it, I'm fishing structure all the time, and the stuff you learn on like where these fish sit on structure, and you, it makes you understand what's going on so much better in the lake as a whole. And the things you see, like you watch fish, actively try and eat a guy's bait 50 feet out from the boat and then not follow at all. And I'm like, no. And they're like, what? I'm like, a muskie just missed your bait. And he's like, where is he? I'm like, sitting out there by the rock he was just sitting by. Like I don't feel in any way, shape, or form I'm abusing forward-facing sonar. Some people, they think just because you have it on your boat, every fish you catch, you're cheating. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. If you don't want to use it, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, a lot of this negativity evolved around guys that use it and catch muskies with it and try and discredit you because it's on your boat. I'm getting really fed up with hearing, to be honest, quite honest with you. I don't really want to go down this road, but kind of just popped in my head. I kind of got a sour taste in my mouth about it all. But yeah, what I'm getting at is the stuff you learn from the lake and how the bait moves and why the muskies are there. And, you know, it just keeps you so much more in tune with what's going on. And, you know, it's wild how many fish can be around the structure at times, you know, especially in the fall.
Yeah, man. I've learned more using forward-facing sonar than I would have learned in the next 20 years without it. It expands your knowledge so far. And, you know, I'd love to take out some of these haters on social media that are calling, you know, oh, he's scoping them. Yeah, like, come hop in my boat and I'll show you what's up, man. Because I think if you saw how it can be used effectively in without taking away the fair chase of the fish, you know, and how it's not actually just some wizard wand that, you know, just makes the magic happen. Like, you know, I'd love to take some of these people out so that I could wrap an anchor rope around their neck with the anchor and throw them overboard. But that's not what I'd do. I'd show them what's up. You know, I'd show them how to use this thing. But, you know, it's the social media musky heroes has always been just kind of a disgusting thing. And, you know, there's people that, I have no respect for anglers that use this and do this or whatever. And it's like, I'm not looking for your respect, you know, you idiot. Come on. Like, you want to learn something? Come get in my boat and I'll teach you something. But, you know, it's gross.
I mean, I am, you know, like I said, I'm using it as a tool to run structure primarily, stay off the edge of stuff. You know, at no time am I ever driving around with the scope down looking for fish. You know, we're actively fishing. And I mean, it's a pretty, you know, invaluable tool. Like for this, for instance, like on Thursday we were out. Most of the fish were sitting on structure in 12 to 14 feet. So I was able to dial that in 100%, get my clients running their bait at 10 feet. You know, this is the cadence, this is the reel speed, and keep that bait 10 feet down every cast and be much more productive. Just a simple little, that's all I was using it for. Now, could you have done that without it? No, because on average, you know, nowadays, I'm sure you see it too, most clients, you know, and it's a fad and it's a thing, and everybody's using high-speed reels. Everybody thinks they gotta have the fastest reel on the market, especially on a rubber rod. Well, to fish a bait down 10, 12 feet with a high-speed reel, it's almost putting you to sleep to get that bait down that, you know, to get it down that deep. And if you put a, you know, a tube on a guy with a high speed reel and he's working it at a normal cadence and a normal speed, that bait's only down about 6-7 feet at best. And you're out of the strike zone. Those fish would not come up that extra 3-4 feet for that bait. The minute you got down 3-4 feet deeper, you were instantly in the game. I couldn't have done that without it. You know what I mean? It went from probably not catching a fish all day to catching 4 or 5. Just a simple little adjustment like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yep. Yeah, it's, man, one thing I was amazed at, About a week ago now, we're fishing this spot, and guys throw in one of those big suics, one of the whatever, the big dive and rise, whatever weighted thing. And it's getting
Frank
down like maybe,
Frankensuik.
yeah, it's getting down maybe like 6, 8 feet on the retrieve about. And we're kind of coming around this point that was pretty steep. And so we're in about 28 feet of water. And I watched a fish come from on bottom. It was laying belly on the bottom in 28 feet, and it literally launched from bottom. Like, it kicked up a dust cloud all the way up to this suic, like 6 feet under the surface. And there was tons of algae. Like, it was dirty water. You couldn't see down very far boat side. I don't know how far down that stuff goes, but to see that fish come like 22 feet up in stained water, really just made you, I mean, it just made me realize, like, there's so many times in the past where I felt like you had to get down there and blah blah, like, no, when a fish wants to take it, it'll take it, you know, whether it's 20 feet
Oh,
away or it's
for
crazy.
sure. Like every fish has a different, a different level of, aggressiveness. I mean, if you think about it, 22 feet, you think that is a long ways.
That's not
But
even
put a
from my
10-foot
trolling
muskie
motor
rod.
to my big motor. That's like less, that's shorter than
Put
my
a
boat.
10-foot muskie rod in your hand. You know what I mean? That's
Yeah.
really not that far. But there are times where you got to rip it right. You got to peel the skin off between their eyeballs to get them to come. And then there are other times where you find the right fish and it'll come 20, 25 feet at a blink of an eye. But I mean, every instance isn't the same. But yeah, I've seen you watch fish do some wild stuff that are really revved up. But he could have thrown that all day, and that was the only fish that was willing to do that. You know what I mean? Versus if he was down, another 6, 8 feet, who knows how many fish he could have got to follow the bait and then, maybe trigger them at the boats or something like that,
Yeah, I mean, it just shows, like, when you bring your bait across the right fish at the right time, you know, it'll happen. It's just all about being in the right place at the right time, you know, and
Yeah.
shit, how do you know when that's gonna be? But anyways,
Yeah.
that's just when, you know, in the fall, the electronics have always been the deal. Before LiveScope, I was glued to my screen. In the fall time, I mean, that's just the way it is. Everything is running deeper throughout the summer. It's easy. It's, you know, it would not be in your best interest to get glued to the screen throughout the summer, because there's a lot of you don't want to get disconnected with your surroundings. Like, there's a lot of
Yeah.
clues that you can see just by watching the water, watching your casts. You know, you don't want to be glued to your screen in the summer. That's going to make you less productive. But in the fall time, even, you know, years ago, as long as I've been fishing in the fall, the electronics are so important. Like, it is so
Well,
key
I
to be able to read
remember
that stuff.
you did a show with, I don't know, was it In Depth Outdoors or who was it years ago?
Yeah.
And you were jigging tubes solely relying on 2D
Yeah.
catching fish.
And crushing
So, I
fish,
mean,
like
it's.
crushing them. I mean, that's just goes to show you, like, it's not just a forward facing thing. It's like, and it's just a thing that you can figure out whether you're got forward facing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's, but the fall time here, it the main takeaway from all this is, we've kind of been rambling on and on and on, is finding the bait, right? Like I noticed when I was, especially right now, like I'm sure you saw it there, the switching winds. The minute the wind switched out of the south, the fishing kind of really slowed down. When we get these north winds before the big freeze and before it stays cold, when you can get these north winds pushing through, they're feeding winds. And like the 2 days that we had those north winds, the fish responded and it was absolutely insane. But The main takeaway from that was I had to find the bait. And especially that was the challenging part, because these winds have been switching around almost every day. They're out of a different direction. And it's got these fish swish washed around. It's got the bait kind of swish washed around. And when I did find one spot there was bait, there was fish. And so the first thing I did, I always preach this, I would fish the next closest spot on that same shoreline. And there was bait there, and there was fish. And it seemed like the minute I would jump across the lake, it might be, you know, just across the channel, 300 yards. No bait, no fish. So the minute I found bait, whether it was on the windy shoreline or the calm shoreline or wherever it was, I would fish on that same line. So, like, for instance, when we had those north winds, I found fish on a north shoreline that was protected. I fished every spot I knew along that north shoreline, and there was fish stacked up. The wind switched out of the south, that north shoreline I went to, those fish were gone. All the bait was gone. Overnight, that bait swam across the basin and once again was on the opposite leeward shoreline. And then I fished the southern shoreline, and there was fish there. So take that in the, like, put that in your head. When you see bait, that doesn't mean that everywhere you go there's going to be bait. So if you find bait on a spot, fish that the next spot up the shoreline, the next spot down the shoreline, or if you continue to find bait on that shore, fish that shore. But this time of year, spots aren't as important as bait. It's not like summer fishing where you're spot hopping, fishing spot, 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 spot. This time of year, everything gets much more consolidated and jammed up in areas. So if you got life, fish it. Don't just think, okay, this spot had bait, I'm going to run 4 miles down the lake and that spot's going to be just as good. Because more than likely, it's not. I don't know if you can agree with that or not.
No, yeah, totally, man. I think this time of year, the same 90% of the fish are in 10% of the water is more true than ever. It's yeah, that's the deal in the fall. And it is awesome how literally everything is in the same areas. Like, you could catch so many fish just even with a walleye setup. You could catch like walleyes, crappies, perch, pike, muskies, bass. Like, all the fun fish to catch are all together in the fall. So no, you're totally right there. That's 100% it.
So that was kind of one major takeaway, that especially with these changing winds we're having, not everything, if we can get, you know, a steady wind, I don't care what direction it's out of, if we can get a steady wind for more than 2 days, fish will kind of start to spread out and the bait will start to spread out. Because, like, right now, not all the bait is up on or next to structure. There's still a lot of staging bait. And only the areas where I could find bait near structure, there was fish. I think there are, especially with this warming trend, I think there are a lot of fish pulled off structure, laying out in the mud, like you said, in that, you know, 25 to 35 foot, just kind of buying their time, waiting for it to get right, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of looking like it's going to be a whole nother week until we start to get, like, fall conditions to start showing up again. I mean, we got some cool nights here in the fall, in the coming days, but really, we're not going to see things really kick into gear until probably about a week from now. So,
That's what I kind of said. I kind of figured that next weekend and all that following week, so that'd be like kind of the 2nd to the 10th, I feel like would be a very prime window. And a lot of years, at least here, there's not a chance you can fish anymore. And this year it is going to be some of the best fishing of the whole fall, I feel like.
Yeah, For sure. Last year, that week leading up to about the 10th of November was kind of the hot week for me. And I think that's probably going to be pretty close to the same, maybe a little bit later this year. So I got some days off this week. I got to get some cabin work done. And then I'm back on the water every day for about, I don't know, 7, 8 days straight, right through until about the 10th there. And I think fishing will probably be good right through to the 15th. I know Minnesota deer hunting season opens up on the 7th, and so, or 7th or 8th, right around there somewhere. And so getting anybody to come get in the boat with me is really tough after that. But
Well, my boat is sitting on the trailer. I have some deer hunters this week, and next week I know it's going to be really good, and I'm looking for anybody that wants to cast a rod and jump in my boat right now, because I don't feel like I ripped enough lips in the fall here yet to satisfy me to get me through the winter. So, I need some bodies. I need some casters, Joe.
Yep. Maybe I'll come up there. I'm bringing my own boat, though, and I'm just following you and yours.
Will your boat even run?
Oh,
Could it
I
keep
mean,
up to me?
I'll keep up to you with my trolling motor, man. I got binoculars. I'll keep you in sights.
Oh, shit.
Well,
No,
I
man.
suppose
It's,
from here on out, we'll probably just
well,
do
I'll.
check-in like every few weeks or so, and we'll kind of ride that out until next season, probably, huh?
Yeah, this is, I mean, I hate to say it, but season is kind of sadly winding down, and unless I can get somebody to get up here and fish with me, I'm officially tapped out. I mean, I'm gonna go out and fish for sure myself. But as far as guiding goes, I'm looking for bodies to get up here. Sadly, yeah, I mean, there's really we're not on the water every week. There's no sense in giving a report if we don't know what's going on. So, I feel like here on out we'll probably have, like a monthly or every few weeks we'll get together and do a little chit chat and talk about our life trials and tribulations and kind of keep everybody in up to date and, tagged along throughout the winter months here is kind of my plan.
Yep, sounds good. That's about the that's pretty much it.
All right, Joe. Well, I'm sure we'll still be talking. Don't forget about me.
I'll try not to, Danny. I will try not to.
All right, man. Well,
Good
you have a good
talk.
night.
We'll see you out there.
All right. Yep, bye.